Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, the network that we not only talk about it, but we are about it here. And I'm so excited. I am one half of your host, Terrence.
And I am the other half of your host, Tanisha. Today is March 17th of 2021 at 7:06 p.m. Central Standard Time. And like Terrence said, we're excited to be here. We're glad that you tuned in to join us tonight. And we're excited to see what the Lord has to say, what direction he's going to take us.
Yeah. I have faith that sees the invincible, expect the incredible, receive the impossible. Faith that can conquer anything. Faith that uproots my problems. Faith to know God can solve them. Faith to vision my freedom. I have faith that can conquer anything. Faith to reach the unreachable. Faith to fight the unbeatable. Faith to remove the immovable. Faith to stand the invisible. Faith that can conquer anything. Faith, I like this, to fight the unbeatable. Faith to remove the immovable. Faith stands the invisible. Faith that can conquer anything. I liked it. But I guess y'all know tonight it's about faith.
Yeah.
Oh, faith that can conquer anything. Notice the key to that is anything.
Anything.
Anything. Faith. He didn't say your job. He didn't say your bloodline. He didn't say your financial abilities. Faith that can conquer anything. Yeah. Faith. Oh, I like feel it tonight. That moves the immovable. See, that's what the world says. It's immovable. Faith that stands the invincible. Faith. God's faith can conquer anything. Faith tonight. My cat looking at me, she got some faith. She looking like, where that come from?
That was really good.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Faith without works is dead. It's possible to please God without faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the substance. substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of the things that are not seen. See, naturally, that's why it's so important for us to really know how to dive into the Spirit of God and have a spiritual connection, because that's where you connect your faith in. Because it doesn't matter how things look naturally, when you got the faith, faith shows you things. And you have to believe. You have to believe what your faith is connecting with.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it, especially when you use it for good. Especially when you use it for the service of the Lord and for the work that he has assigned to you. And that's very beneficial, and the body of Christ is going to know faith like no other this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're really going to know what faith is. The saints of old used to talk about faith, and I used to hear it growing up, because there were a group of people during a particular time that understood. It didn't matter what the doctor said. It didn't matter what the attorney said. It didn't matter what the judge said. It didn't matter what they said. They focused on what the Lord said. And everything I realize now, everything that's from my past and everything that I learned then wasn't all wrong. Everything that I got then wasn't all bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's still connected. It's still connected. It's a foundation that we should build on. But we can't neglect the foundation. And the foundation is faith. Jesus came teaching, have faith in God. That's why I'm here, because I got faith in my God. That's why I'm about his business, because I know that the things that I can't see externally, I see internally. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was warring in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Notice he didn't say he was warring in the flesh. He was warring in the spirit.
Yes.
Because Satan was trying to minimize his faith. Satan was trying to snatch his faith from him to not believe why God sent him. But he said, nevertheless, his faith took over. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So is God's will important to you tonight? Does the will of God matter? You know, I see all of these signs, Black Lives Matter, Poor Lives Matter, Black Fathers Matter, Dads Matter, all of these matter, but does God's will matter? You know, does God's will matter to you? What is God willing for you in your life? What has he willed for us to do as the body of Christ? What is God's will? We have to start asking questions and asking the unpopular questions so that we can get the popular answer. And I say the unpopular question because it's not popular in the earth, but it's popular in heaven. Come on, somebody. In the spirit, it's popular.
Mm-hmm.
In kingdom living, it's popular. So who are you living for? For the true believers, we have a popular type of speech. We have a popular way of doing things. We don't fold when the pressure comes. We get excited. We apply pressure to the pressure. And sometimes the tears want to fall. Let them fall. But again, nevertheless. A lot of us are in a nevertheless moment right now. I believe that I'm saying it by the Spirit of God. You are in a moment right now to where you want to give up, to where you don't want to see this thing through. So you need to have this nevertheless moment. You got to make a decision. Are you going to allow your faith to connect with the Lord, or are you going to allow your faith to connect with what the enemy is saying?
Mm-hmm.
But your faith is going to connect somewhere, because your belief is going to activate something. You're going to believe something.
That's true.
You were made to believe. I've dealt with people that always want to pose these questions. Why would God do it? God is real. If God is this, if God is that, da, da, da. You got a lot of people that are trying not to believe. But my answer to them in their theory is you still have to make a choice. It's up to you whether you believe it or not. But don't beat me over my head about what I believe when you're trying not to believe.
Right.
But you are believing. So allow me to believe what I believe. Because I'm going to let you believe what you believe. And we will see. So belief is important. So I challenge you tonight to allow your faith in God to rule in your life. Allow your faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
Allow your faith in him to take its proper position in your life and see what God does, even when you can't see it, even when you can't understand it. Trust him and know that what he says, he's giving you a word tonight. Know that his word is not going to return unto him void. It's not going to return unto him void. But do you believe that or not? Do you believe it? So stretch your faith. Don't worry. Tell doubt to move. Doubt is being evicted tonight in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over every doubter tonight. Lord, the doubt from their heart is being evicted. The notice has already been served. Today is eviction day.
Mm.
You got to go. You got to go. I have the spiritual authorities at the door putting them out. Doubt has to go. Doubt has no place. No place in you.
No.
Evict doubt tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get doubt out and welcome faith in. Faith in God in. And give faith in God an unlimited lease.
Mm.
It's not going to end. Faith is moving in and faith is there to stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's good. It's like faith is buying the place and doubt be renting.
Right.
You got to just kick doubt out.
Yeah, you
got to
go.
And not make it a permanent thing.
Mm-mm.
Because you need faith to please God. And we want to be pleasing to God above all things. That's why obedience is better than sacrifice, because obedience is showing God you love him by doing the things that he tells you to do.
Absolutely.
So we should desire to be pleasing.
Absolutely.
To God. And we need faith to be obedient.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of the times we're not obedient because doubt comes creeping in. Look at what, look at, I want to go to some scripture. Let's go to all the way in the beginning. I need an actual. I think I need a book.
Yeah, you got Bible anywhere, right?
I want to find the fall of man, which is, you know, it's in Genesis.
I believe it's
right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I believe so, too.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go there. Let's go to Genesis 3, starting with 1. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Now the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled, and deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent Satan said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? What was he doing right there?
Testing her faith.
He was testing her faith, and he was causing what? Doubt.
Doubt.
He was causing doubt. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, otherwise you will die. But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. That is, you will have greater awareness, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband. So she looked at it one way. When God said, that's not good for the eating. And then when the devil came in and told her, doubt came in. Look at what that doubt did. Instead of being obedient, she sacrificed. And guess what she sacrificed? She sacrificed you, me, all of us.
Absolutely.
All of us. We're still paying the price of the sacrifice of being disobedient. We're still paying. Mankind is paying for it. So we cannot have room for doubt. It should not have any place. And so one asks, well, how do we get rid of doubt? Right? Because we don't be trying to doubt. Right? Nobody wakes up and says, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to doubt God. That's just not our goal. So practically, what can we do to eliminate doubt? We have to be bold. Truth be told, you have to be bold and just take a leap of faith and just throw all caution to the wind. You have to just throw logic and reason sometime even to the wind and trust what God is telling you to do.
Absolutely.
That's it. I can't. And of course, you can weed out doubt with faith. And how do you gain more faith? Faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. And so that's what you have to do. You have to position yourself to grow in faith, because as faith grows, doubt dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like if you don't want to be physically weak, it's not enough to just not want to be physically weak. As you grow stronger, then weakness starts to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with faith. If you want to start to be bolder and stronger, you have to kill doubt by raising your faith. Just like if you want to operate in the spirit and not in the flesh, you got to grow in the spirit so that the flesh can die. It's always one thing battling against the other thing. And so you got to make the thing that you want to win stronger so that you can win the battle.
Absolutely. I like what you said, though. You posed the question, how do you get rid of doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was at school. I was about to raise my hand. but the Lord quickened me. He said to meditate.
Mm.
You know, scriptures tell us to meditate in the word both day and night.
Yes.
It says the more you know, the more you focus on it, the less time that you give to doubt.
Mm.
Because doubt came in the form of a serpent, but doubt came with words. And so it's like you guard your ears. That's why, like, when I read, I get by myself, you know, I read out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to hear those words as well. And, that's training my ears to hear truth. Because a lot of people's ears are trained to hear doubt, which is their new truth.
Right.
You know, and so it's really important to really meditate in the word of God. And meditate is soaking it in, not just reading the scripture, but praying on the scripture and asking God, what do you mean by this?
Right.
And Lord, train my ears to hear your voice, like spending time. You know, it's definitely a practice. It's a practice. It's a way of living that we should have. It's not always going to come, you know, if you're the type that's waiting on your pastor to tell you something, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it every time.
Mm-hmm.
Because He tells us to study to show that self-approved.
Right.
You got to do it for yourself.
Yes.
Your pastor is not going to get you to heaven. Your pastor is not in charge of your salvation. Randy ain't in charge of your salvation. Me and Tanisha is not in charge of your salvation. Your salvation is up to you. The Bible says that you have to work out your own salvation. Your own salvation. So if you want to be saved, if you want to live the life as a true believer, you got to do the work. You got to do it. And this is the season for us to do it. This is the season for us to do it. Because there's one thing, like Tanisha was saying, like Eve disobeyed. You know, she knew what her husband had told her. She knew that. She knew the relationship that Adam had with God. She knew that. And he did too. But they gave their ear to that and entertained that particular ideology. And so I say tonight, be careful what you're entertaining. Really be careful what you're entertaining. Be careful what you are applauding. What you are supporting. If what you're supporting don't line up, see, this is the thing. You read those scriptures right there. But it never said once that regardless of what they heard, Eve consulted God.
Right.
Or Adam went back to God to make sure or to check themselves.
Right, or to ask questions,
right,
or
just
anything.
Ask questions, you know what I'm saying?
They didn't even consult one another. She
just
handed it to him and he just ate it.
They just did. They made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
They made a decision. And it's really important that the decisions that we make can affect so many people that you don't even know. It was a decision that you make or don't make. So the importance of having faith in God keeps you rooted in him, to seek him in all things. Because I'm not saying that you read scriptures and doubt won't come your way. No. But you check doubt. You have to check it. You have to filter that thing through the word. You're like, okay, Is what I'm thinking about right now the truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what God said, but I'm hearing this. Okay, here comes this confusion. So when you got your faith in God, you never relinquish it. You never give it up. You never turn it over. You never turn it over. Because you ask yourself, you told yourself, I know what God told me. Then here comes blood. Now, if you know what God told you, that's what you should focus on. Anything outside of that doesn't matter. Because God ain't telling you that. God told you this. So this is what you have to focus on, regardless of what you're hearing. Even regardless of things that you might be seeing. You focus and you make a conscious effort to focus on what God has said. Because you know he said it. You said he said it. You heard him say it. You heard him say it, Reverend. Trust that. Stay there. Think about it. If Eve had to stay there and Satan come to Eve right here, said in verse 4, he tempted her, said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. But what did God say? If you eat of that tree, you will die. He comes back, you should not surely die. But she knew what God said. But she made a decision to go with opposite of what the Lord said, and it cost her. And not only her, but mankind. But even in our disobedience, we were talking about this earlier, remember? Even when we get it wrong, even our disobedience, God still turn and make it work for our good.
Yeah, once we get ourselves together, you know, he'll make it all work out for our good.
Right, because he sent us a slave.
Because all disobedience is not created equal.
Mm-mm.
You know, some disobedience leads to flat-out rebellion.
Absolutely.
And some disobedience leads to you realizing that you were disobedient. Sometimes we're disobedient and don't realize it. We call it these colorful things. We procrastination. That's disobedience. A delay. That's disobedience. I'll do it tomorrow. That's disobedience. Mm-hmm. Well, let me consult with my big mama first. That's disobedience. We have these things that to make things not appear to be what they are. We hide what the truth of the matter is.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we're disobedient because we're being rebellious.
Right.
And that's different than when you're being disobedient and you're cloaking. Oh, I know the Lord told me to do this today, but I'm just going to do it next Wednesday because then I have a little bit more. Yes, disobedient.
I was thinking.
If we do that, we try to make things all cutesy. Oh, it's just a little white lie. It's a tiny little baby bite-sized lie. It's a lie. We always got these things that we try to do. Right, it's a whole lie. It's an entire lie.
Absolutely.
It ain't even half a lie. People try to say, it's just a little, it's a little bit of a, it's a little smidge of a lie. No, it's a lie.
It ain't gonna hurt then, you know.
It's like trying to be, it's just a little tiny bit pregnant. You pregnant or you not? Some things just are or are not. So all disobedience is not viewed the same and doesn't have the same effect. But God does promise to make it all work for your good if you love him and if you're called according to his purpose. Don't forget that part, because people say all things work together for good and they just leave it there. Just drop it.
God knows who loves him.
Right. But people will do that. They'll just drop it. And that's not what the scripture says.
Mm-mm.
There's a requirement to how all that thing is going to work for good. If you don't love God and you're not called according to his purpose, it may or may not work for good. There ain't no guarantee. You're taking a risk.
Right.
Some things are in vain depending on you. You are what's going to either cause all things to work together for good or not. Because if you don't love God, well, you're not called according to his purpose. Well, you got to have both. It's not going to work for your good. But if you love God and you're called according to his purpose, even your disobedience, God will work it for good. Because guess what? You get to learn a lesson. I've learned lots of lessons from being disobedient. I don't say these things, and we're not saying tonight's show to try to make you feel bad about delays and disobedience.
No.
I have been there. I've done. This has been my life. I've been disobedient, tried to cloak it. Lord say, do this or buy that or do that. I don't want to get a little more money. No, that's not what he said. So now I'm being disobedient. We have to be aware of our disobedience, too. We have to be mindful of it.
Yeah.
And quit making excuses for it. And say, you know what, Lord, I'm disobedient and I don't want to be disobedient anymore. Help me to build my faith. And don't just be wanting faith like praying for muscles and you ain't never lifted no weight. Don't do that, because people do it. They're just praying for muscle. I just want to wake up muscle bound. It don't work like that. You got to put in the work.
Right.
Then being jealous. Well, why is that person so buff? Because they do what needs to be done.
Right.
It don't make sense. I never understood that people be jealous of other people's body because people are fit. But the people get up early, go running, eat right, lift weights, do push-ups and sit-ups and, you know, do all sorts of things to make sure that their body is fit. And this person eating pizza and watching TV and sucking down sodas. That don't make sense. They're doing the work because they have a a result in mind. So if you want to walk in faith, you have to put in the work so that you could build faith. Faith can be built.
Yes.
Just like muscles can be built. So don't just be praying and don't really want faith and just walk off and keep doing the same thing. And always talking about, I doubt it. I know people, that's their whole life. You could, just like you could walk in faith, you could walk in doubt. You could be habitually doubtful and don't even realize. You're always doubting something. It could be a habit. It could become, doubt could become a stronghold in your life. You doubt everything. Whether man says it's going to rain, I doubt it. They say they're going to get raises at your job this year, I doubt it. They say this, that, I doubt. You just walk in doubt.
One of my favorites, I believe you want to see
it. Yeah, that ain't no type of faith. If you believe in it when you see it, you possess no faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the substance of things seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. So if we're, the Bible is putting faith and sight in direct opposition to say we walk by faith and not by sight. So that means that faith is what? It's not sight. So if you're the type, I believe it when I see it, then that means you possess no faith.
Right.
And these are things that you have to be aware of. We got to have self-awareness. Are, do you walk in doubt? Is doubt a lifestyle for you? Are you talking about, I doubt it every time something happens? Somebody could say, the sky is blue, I doubt it. I mean, you're just so habitually doubtful. Or you say, I believe it when I see it. It means you've made a lifestyle, but you don't have to continue with that. Once you're aware of it, that's the first step. Mm-hmm. To say, I'm a doubtful person. I'm always doubting everything. Or I'm always waiting to see something before I believe something. And that's in direct opposition of, I'm not pleasing God by being like that. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I want to be pleasing to you. And then you take your flaw, your mess up, which we all have.
Absolutely.
And you go to God in truth, because the truth is what makes you free. And say, Lord, I'm a doubtful person. Help me to overcome that. What do I need to do? Because I need your help. But what do I need to do? What's my part in this? Mm-hmm. Everybody want to take prayers of God, but they don't want to do their part. You got to be willing to show, let the Lord know, I'm willing to do my job. What is it going to take to get this goal? Just like hiring a personal trainer. You go there with your beer belly gut, your back rolls, and your love handles, and you show them a picture of a body you want, and you say, what is it going to take to get this body? And a good personal trainer will help you. Sometimes it's just doing the most. Like, come on now. Ain't nobody going to reinvent the wheel. But for the most part, they're going to help you. If you go with your photo and they see what they got to work with, they're going to help you to obtain your goal.
Did you say reinvent?
Some people be, come on now, miracles. And not to say miracles don't exist. They say we'll do greater works. So not to say that it's not possible. But sometimes people be wanting things and I'm like, come on now, like, this is some turning water into wine type thing. This is not an easy, this ain't normal. And I'm not saying it won't ever, but I'm just saying that the probability is we going to need a miracle. It's going to take a miracle. But just saying, in life, when we have goals and there's people who are professionals or people who are experts in the matter, and we tell them what our goals is, they look at where you're at, right? And they look at what you want to be and where you want to be, and they help you. You still got to do your part, but they guide you and they teach you and they do what they can to help you obtain your goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to go to God with that same mentality to say, this is the goal. This is where I'm at, Lord. This is the goal. Help me. But what do I need to do? Because if you go to that personal trainer, they can't run on the elliptical for you, right? They can't. It's not helping you. So you do have to do something. You got to do your part too. They can't eat the food for you, right? They can't do it.
Like Dr. Now.
Like, yes, like we love that. We love watching 600-pound life. And Dr. Now is one of the doctors on there, and he teaches people. He can't do the work. He'll tell them what needs to be done, and he could tell when they've done the work because the proof is in the results.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll let them know, like, if you did this, you could have lost, 30 pounds in 2 months.
1 month.
In 1 month. You know, he's got the best. I love Dr. Now. He's got the best, most delightful accent. But it's the same thing with us. If we want to do, we can't just, it's not enough to know what to do. We have to do it. And then the proof is in the results.
Yeah.
I didn't always have strong faith. No. I really didn't. But I wanted strong faith. And so I started to study about faith. I didn't always have wisdom, but I wanted wisdom. And I started to study. And in all things, I always went to God and told him what I wanted and asked him, what do I need to do to get this?
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to build and grow, just like in the natural. You know, you start going to the gym, you know, whew, it sounds good, it looks good. But when you start putting in that work, man, you be ready to pass out, ready to vomit on yourself. And then you, you keep going and you press, because it gets to that point where there's always a point in life where you have to press, you know, because things might hurt or you might be tired, but we always have to press at some point. And then when we press and we get through and we learn how to move past the pain or move past the doubt or move past whatever it is that we're pressing against, we get to a new level. But we have to be willing to put in the work, and it's so worth it when it comes to the realm of faith. Faith is going to, it will take you far in life, having faith and acting on the faith.
Absolutely.
So having the works too. Because if faith without works is dead, then faith with works is life. And he came to give us what? Life and life more abundantly. So how do we get the abundant life? We have to have strong faith, and we have to have the works to couple with it so that we can have that abundant life. So we need that, especially in these times. In these days, God is moving. He's doing some things, and I don't want any of us to miss out on anything that God has for us because of doubt. You know, Terrence and I were on the show Monday and Tuesday, and last night we talked about the journey we've been on with the house, and it took faith, and it's still taking faith to keep pushing forward. You know, it's not always the easy thing, and it can be scary sometimes, but you got to push. Push past the fear, push past the doubt, push past the statistics, push back what people say that you might love and respect, and focus on what is God saying to do. And do just that. And do just that.
Absolutely, especially when he says to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, we talked about getting this house, and that's the result. One aspect of the results based on all of the things that really took place. Because through this process, like, I had to take the mindset, and it's a mindset that God has developed in me, that he's the creator of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the things that we ask for is not impossible for him.
Right.
I had to believe that. Secondly, I had to know that what I wanted lined up with what he wanted for me. Because we can get into a place to where we make things happen for ourselves. Because we was made in his image and after his likeness. So we can do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He put it in us. But for him to get the glory out of it, he took it out of our hands. And, well, we gave it to him. He told us, like, if you give me this, I give you that. So we had to give up our power, basically,
mm-hmm.
and just turn it over to God and watch God do it. And we had to stay in tune to what God was saying.
Right.
Because this has been a four-year journey based off of the first time we heard the Lord say a particular thing about where we were going to be living. Not only did he tell us where we were going to be living, he told us that that it hasn't been built yet.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two things that he told us. And here we go. We get excited about where we're going to be living. And we're thinking it's going to be the next day. Because we heard the word of God. We heard the Lord say that. We knew this is what he said.
Right.
Yes, he did say it. But he didn't tell us when.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process, we go looking. Basically trying to force things. In a way. And mm-hmm. this is where doubt came in, because we put ourselves in position to start listening. It started really forgetting or not keeping the word in which God told us in the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we kept that in the forefront, a lot of the things that we did would have been avoided. And he was teaching us a lesson. He allowed us to go through this to be able to have this message of faith.
Yes.
It's far greater than that house. A storm can come and snatch that thing, then what?
Right.
A fire can come and burn it, then what? The earth could cave in, then what? It's just the house. But the way it came, it's far more greater. Who gave it is far more greater. Because we position ourselves, start looking, and went out to this particular city and was looking around and started seeing things and started allowing our ideas and our ideologies, and we began to share amongst each other, and we began to try to fill ourselves with doubt. Well, maybe we did hear the Lord.
Right. Did God really say to buy a house in this area?
Right. You know, and these are the audible things we begin to say to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
which brought in discouragement,
right.
which ushered in doubt.
Got us all off course.
And guess what? God allowed it. He allowed us to do that. Goes back to the Garden of Eden. He could have come in, and he was always coming to the garden. He could have come in that moment and said, no. Because he gave us free will.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us, he's training us at all times to really know it's him and to build our faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
So years go by, and we would say it here and now, you know, it'll come up again. You know, Lord did say that our house hadn't been built yet.
Right, because we're looking at pre-love tones.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can just get this house right here and do this to it. We can make it work. But every house that we went to did not bring that satisfaction.
No.
To us. Everyone. And then even on the day that we found the house that God had for us, the enemy still tried to come in and bring confusion, because I was tired of looking at houses. I told Denise, look, whichever one you choose, I'm good, because we couldn't agree on nothing. We couldn't do this on the night. I was tired. I was done. But then after we had that conversation, I prayed. And I prayed in my head, because we was in the car. I got quiet. I was flustered.
We both were.
Yeah. I prayed. I said, Lord, please help us to agree on something, because I'm tired. Tired. And instantaneously, minutes later, we looked across the way at a place that we agreed on, like, nah, this one ain't it. And we agreed, hey, let's go look at this. As soon as we entered the door and stepped on that property, like she said, I was jokingly saying it, but yet still, it was a prophetic word that went through, because I never said that in any other house that we went in. Never said that this is the one that I want.
Mm-hmm. Right, like, I want this house.
And she didn't tell me that. I had no idea that Tanisha even liked the house. But she went in and did her thing. And we came back to the front. This is when she said, I want this house. I was like, well, that settles it, because I wanted it too. And it lined up to the exact words that God gave us.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the exact city, and it hadn't been built yet. Those were the two things God said, and it was another thing about the timing, because I was very adamant, because we did like another home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did like another home prior to this one, but we didn't like the price. So therefore, we didn't agree on the price.
So, and we couldn't even get the house.
Yeah, we couldn't even
get on the waiting list.
Right, because God orchestrated that, because he knew that my timeline was very important to me, because he gave me the timeline.
Yeah, as far as when the house was going to be built. So that one, we were even willing to compromise with the price, but the timeline, the house wouldn't be ready until next year.
Right. And I couldn't do it. And the reason why I couldn't do it, because the Lord didn't want me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what God had said, and I was at that point, I'm not deviating.
And I really wanted that particular mm-hmm. house. I really liked it, even though it wasn't in the city
mm-hmm.
that God said. So it's like we were both frustrated, because here, I liked that house.
Right.
And was willing to get that house. And then Terrence would like a lot of different houses, and I would say no. So he was not willing to budge, because he's like of the timeline, and I wasn't willing to budge, because I'm like, I just don't, it's not it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not it. I wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were both willing to compromise, but the areas were clashing with one another. Absolutely. And that's something that even God was probably orchestrating, because
absolutely.
You weren't willing to compromise, because I'm like, let's just get that one. And you're like, it don't match the timeline.
Right.
And then, so that had me frustrated. And then you're getting frustrated, like, what's wrong with this house? And I'm like, I don't like it. It doesn't feel like home. You know, it could be nice. It could have the nice, you know, countertops and all this. And I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we saw one super far out. And
it was nice.
Really nice. And Terrence really liked it. And I was like, it's too far and I don't like it. I like the house, but I'm like, I don't want to live there. I don't want to live in that area. It didn't feel like home. We drove around a little bit. And I'm like, no.
They got frustrating after a while,
mm-hmm.
but then it showed us really how when we can have our differences, but we were never ugly toward one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say all the time, like, I can't make you do nothing. You know, it's like, she can't make me do nothing, but we know who can. And so,
right.
You know, we take it to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, look, you made this woman here, and come on, look, do something. And I mean, instantaneously, it all came together. But he was teaching us, you know, really how to work together. And he was teaching us how to really value one's views.
Mm-hmm.
And I compromise, like, my whole life pretty much has been a compromise. I can compromise on a lot of things, but when I'm solid on something, I'm not going to bend.
Yeah, that build time was, every time we go to a new builder, Terrence, the first thing he'd say, what's the build time? Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't within the year, he'd be like, no.
I don't care how nice it was.
Yeah, he's like, no, it doesn't meet. And so, like you said, we did. We were always respectful, because even when we were left that last property, and he was very frustrated and I was frustrated, and he's like, you have to pick a house. And I'm like, I'm not going to just pick a house. I have to feel like it's home. So mm-hmm. I'm not willing to compromise just to say that we have a house.
Right.
I was like, I'm not going to do it. And he respected that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I really like the other house. And you were like, it doesn't meet my timeline. And I respected that. So we're like, well, we're just going to keep looking.
Because there was things that God told her that he didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was things that he shared with me that he didn't tell her.
Right.
And so even individually, he was testing to see where we stand on what he said.
Right.
Even individually when we're doing something collectively.
Right. So that let us know that if it wasn't meeting what God told me and it wasn't meeting what God told you, we knew that it was enough.
It was enough.
And we respected that. I didn't go like, well, you must be hearing wrong because this is the, you know, and he wasn't
right.
saying, well, you got to just choose. No, it's like, you know, even though we were getting frustrated, like, well, okay, if it doesn't meet your timeline thing, fine. And he's like, okay, it doesn't feel like home to you, fine. Because that's something I knew that it was going to feel. Because I kept telling him, like, it's a feeling. Because like, well, I don't understand what you're saying. And I'm like, I can't explain a feeling. I know when it's going to be the house because a feeling is going to come on me that this is home. And that's how it felt. When we walked into the model home, I'm like, this is home. Even though the house had features that I didn't like, that I would not have chose. But I knew when we walked in that it was home. And I kept walking and looking through. And I remember I told our realtor, I said, I want this house. And then even when we got downstairs and stuff and said, Terrence and I got back together, I'm like, I want this house. And even though the lady was like, I don't know, the waiting list and I don't know, the spec home is, I don't know if it's available or not, but here's where it's located if you want to go look at it. And we did, and Terrence walked it, and I've got photos and everything of him walking it, and the guy told our realtor, it's sold. You know, I'm waiting on some paperwork from the people who bought it. And she let him know, our realtor, well, they're really interested in buying a home. Next day, he said, people backed out.
Right. It wasn't even 24
hours. Yeah, it wasn't even 24 hours. We prayed about it because we're like, oh, man. And then we're like, you know, let's just pray about it, you know, because
right.
I knew how I felt.
You're not going to get frustrated.
And we really liked it. And we both knew, we're like, I don't know, it's in the city. It's perfect. It's the size. It's everything that we want. It's got the amount of space that we need. And we just prayed about it. And then, like Taryn said, not even 24 hours, the guy called our realtor back and was like, the people backed out of the house. They don't want it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the season that we're in as the body of believers. You know, last year we was talking about the seeds that we sown,
mm-hmm.
right? And we said that this year, the Lord told us that this year, and you've been hearing it on the show. So like Randy said, it's documented.
Uh-huh.
It's all documented. Just go back and listen to it. That this is the year of that release.
Yeah.
This is the year of the release. This is the year where those seeds that are sown, that we have sown, are going to harvest.
Yeah.
This is manifestation year and the year of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And the year of miracles. So you have to walk knowing what God has said, not what you want to do. But whatever it is that you want to do, make sure it's lining up with the will of God. Make sure what you want to do is what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that what you want to have is what God wants you to have. Because I got frustrated. I was willing to basically compromise to a point of like square footage and all this.
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
some of the houses that you were liking, I'm like, this is small. You know?
I'd be like, look, man, we can sell it. Let's just, I allowed it to mess up a little bit. Well, it's going to mess the timeline.
Right. You're shortchanging yourself.
Yeah, I was shortchanging myself. Even though it didn't match the city.
Or the size.
Or the size. And it didn't even match the fact that it hadn't been built yet.
Right.
And those are the two things that God gave us first. The timeline came on up down later.
Mm-hmm.
But the first two things he said that it's going to be in this city and it hasn't been built yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we had stayed right there on that, God is teaching us how to really focus on what he has said. And that's in any situation.
Right.
Because the enemy is going to come. He's going to come to distract you.
Yeah.
He's going to, that's his job. Expect him to do his job. But at the same time, expect God to do his. Know who's greater. Know what's beneficial to you. It benefits us nothing to do with Satan's sin. We would have been miserable if we had a compromise.
We really would have.
God still would have allowed us to do it because it's our will too. Occupy things outside of God's will that are nice.
Right. But then you're settling.
And now you're going to have, guess what? You're not going to be in that place that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this thing called make the best of it.
Right.
We didn't want to be in a make the best of it situation. We want to be in the best situation that was for us.
Right. We want to be in God's will.
That's it.
But you see how frustration can cause you to compromise.
Absolutely.
Because we were even looking at, like I said, we're looking at pre-loved homes, and we knew good and full well the Lord said our house hadn't been built yet. But we're compromising because we're frustrated,
mm-hmm,
and we're tired. You know, being tired and frustrated can cause you to really compromise and miss out on the things that God has for you.
Absolutely. It was like when we knew what he said, but then God allowed that time to go to really test us and believe that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he said it,
mm-hmm,
without a doubt when we heard it.
Yeah.
But did you believe it, though?
Right, because if we believed it, we wouldn't have even bothered with
right,
none of the other areas.
We would have never
bothered with any pre-loved.
No.
That was literally a
right,
waste of time, but God used it because now we're able to give our testimony and let you guys know if God is giving you specifics, don't even waste your time on nothing else.
No.
Don't allow frustration.
No.
Don't allow, determination even. Determination,
mm-hmm,
can sometimes,
absolutely,
be just as bad for you as frustration.
Absolutely.
Because you're determined. And just trust God's timing. Because then, of course, like we were talking about on the show last night, for those who are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you guys know how crazy the house market is getting. So then you have pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That pressure can cause you to make decisions. There's so many
pressure,
things that are pulling at you to get out of God's will. So we have pressure coming at us. We had frustration. We had determination. We had being tired.
Mm-hmm.
And where we're staying at, we've got some neighbors that we swear moved in from the gates of hell. I mean, there was all sorts of things going on to where we wanted to get out of here. And that could cause you to make a decision. But if you just stick to what God said, if we would have just stuck to the city and the fact that it hadn't been built yet, we would have eliminated a lot of our frustration because we wouldn't even make that an option.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have, I'm not good with options.
No, you've got
50 million options in front of you and you don't know which one to do and you keep feeling like, oh, this doesn't feel like the one, that easily could make you frustrated.
Absolutely.
But if you eliminate the options because they don't line up to what God told you, then that's going to eliminate your frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lesson for us to just trust God. If God says, this is going to happen, or this is the city, this is blah, whatever. It doesn't have to be a house. It could be a job. God saying, well, you're going to have your next job is going to be in this field. Then quit looking in that field.
Mm-hmm. And to go back, although we looked at a lot of houses.
A lot.
God still used those opportunities to still make the connections. Because I still remember when we looked at that house that we met our realtor in.
Mm-hmm.
I knew God told us to go look at that house, but it wasn't for the house. It was to meet her.
Right.
It was to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
he just let me know that it was to meet her. You know, and it's key to always stay in tune to hearing God's instructions.
Right.
Because did it make sense to even go look at the house when he told you that your house is going to be in such and such city and it hadn't been built yet?
Right. And this house is not in that city.
It was not in that city.
Pre-loved.
But I know we were supposed to go look at it.
Yeah, because the minute we walked into that house, it's a no for me.
Right.
You know, I knew immediately. I mean, the house felt like it was like sloping. I was like, uh-uh.
But it was for us to meet her.
Right.
It was for us to me her, which led us out there.
Yeah. Because she's like, she was like, let's go for it. You know, let's yeah. let's go out there. Let's.
Because she began to talk about the area. She knew about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she knew certain things.
Yep.
And so if, in your natural mind, you'd be like, man, it don't even make sense. Lord, I already said this right here and this right here. That don't even match.
Right.
But did the Lord say, do that? See, when you're in tune to hearing from God and you're in tune to knowing his voice and listening to him, he'll tell you to do things that don't make sense to you, but it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you know, it wasn't even about that house.
No.
It was about meeting her.
It was a divine appointment.
Absolutely. Which led us to...
I say the story all the time about how I met Terrence. It made no sense
right.
for me to show up at that shop. None. But I know what I heard God say. He said, just go.
Just go.
Just go. Go anyway. So I'm like, I'm late. This right. guy that, you know, I'm supposed to be meeting up with is being rude to me. He's not answering my phone calls. He's mm-hmm. not answering my texts. I didn't even want to go. I didn't want to give him my money. And God, like, just go.
Just go.
And sure enough, I went and I met Terrence. And the rest is history.
Yeah,
so just be obedient, because you don't know what your lack of obedience, which opportunities that you could be missing out on, what people that you could be missing out on.
Absolutely.
You know, so we have to just build our faith and be obedient and be honest in areas that you're not obedient. You know, there's nobody's just perfectly obedient in every single thing. You know, you might be disobedient in your eating habits. I struggle with that. I like food. I'm a foodie. I like to eat, and I know, you know, there's certain areas that I'm obedient in, you know, as far as when God told me to quit eating meat, I did, and that's not something that, you know, I'm not anti-meat, but God told me to quit eating meat, so I stopped eating meat. But other areas I need to clean up on, like, some, you know, eating so many carbs and stuff like that, you know, it really sticking to plant-based and getting more towards that. And so that's something that I'm constantly working on, and being obedient in that area. And so when I feel my body, you know, not feeling its best and all that, I can't just be, the devil's attacking my, yeah, he might be, but what am I doing? Could it be I'm contributing towards it because of my disobedience?
Do I have the gate open?
Right, you know.
Do I have the door unlocked?
Exactly.
So
did I leave the car keys in, the car running, and the door open with a sign that says, steal me? I mean, come on. So I got to be honest about the role that I'm playing, too. And so we all have to do that in areas of our life where we are being disobedient. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you're flawed or that you're not doing your best. There is something wrong with acknowledging it, knowing it, and not doing anything about it. We never need to stay mediocre. We never need to stay not doing our best. We don't need to stay there. You know, maybe God has been prompting you to go for a walk every day and just work out a little bit. He does that with me, and I haven't. I need to be obedient in that. I need to go get my walks. Because it's not even about even the physical exercise. There might be something he wants to show me. There might be a sign that I see that makes an impact in my life next year, something that I remember. There's been times like that where I saw something and then it didn't mean anything then, but then later on I'm like, I recall it. Like, oh, I remember I saw this, and then it makes a difference in my life. So we got to be obedient in the things that God is telling us in all areas, because we want to win in every area. Mm-hmm. We don't want to sacrifice any area of our life, whether it be our health, our love life, our, you know, parenting, being a good friend, a worker, a business owner, you know, a church member. It doesn't matter. We have all sorts of roles that we play, but we want to be the best who we are as a person, as a spirit, mm-hmm. that's housed in a body, that God knows the plans that he has for you, that he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. We want you to be best in just being who God made you to be. But you have to be able to identify the things that's pulling at your obedience and that's pulling at your faith. And that's why Terrence and I are just honestly, you know, sharing with you tonight about the things that were pulling at us and that could have caused us to be where we didn't need to be. And we could have been in a good situation. We could have had, you know, pull and, you know, just because something is good doesn't mean it's good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, everything good, and we have to quit gauging what's for us by what's good, because sometimes God will put you in a bad situation. Terrence and I were seemingly bad, rather. It's seemingly bad. not bad if it's for you. His plans for your good, but it could appear to be bad. You know, Terrence and I were talking earlier about how sometimes the worst thing that's happened to you ends up being the best thing that's happened to you. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it looks like it's the worst thing. It looks like your whole world fell apart, the bottom and fell out. And it's looking like, you know, you've been abandoned. And that situation could be the chain of events that's been, and look in hindsight, the best thing that ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. Somebody might have walked out of your life and you're thinking that it's the worst thing ever, that your whole life is falling apart. Everything that you knew is just not what it was. Right. And that could be the best thing. You could have been, you can't stop crying because you're so hurt. And and your pain is real. You're in genuine pain. It's not perceived. It's for real pain. But it still could be the best thing. You could have lost the job that you thought was your dream job. It pays right. You love your coworkers. Everything lined up. It's close to your home. You feel like you're making a difference. You're not just waking up and being some zombie for 8 hours. And you could have lost that job, and it feels devastating to you. But that could have been the best thing because God wants you to own a job like that and employ people. You know, you might have, your house could have burned to the ground, or you could have been stolen, or an inheritance could have been taken from you. We talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. We prayed over one of our callers and we discovered who it was. And it feels like that's the worst thing that happened to you because your car broke down the next week. Mm-hmm. But God set it up to where you're going to have triple that. Maybe you were supposed to go out of town and something happened. Your job said, no, you can't take the time off. And now you're stewing in your juices. You're so upset. Mm-hmm. But because now you can't go on that trip, you're going to run into the person who's going to end up being your future spouse. You know, sometimes just because something seemingly is bad doesn't mean it's bad for you. And just because something is seemingly good doesn't mean that it's good for you. So we have to quit using these feelers to, is this what it, just be obedient. What is God saying? I talked about many times a job that I'd taken that was really an insult and pay. But it ended up being working for my good. Like I said, when I went to where I met Terrence at that day, I was ticked off. God said, go anyway. I wasn't trying to find no husband. I was trying to get my son a haircut. But the very thing that you desire, you end up finding when you're not looking for it, just being obedient. You know, even when we went to go look at when we found our house, the house that we went to go look at, I didn't even want to go.
Sure did.
I didn't want to go, but I knew that I was supposed to. So I'm like, okay, let's just go. And then when I discovered it wasn't even built, I was really ready to leave. I was ready to go back home. But, you know, our realtor was like, oh, let's come look at the model. You know, let's keep looking. There's some other builders. Let's just look over here. It was a chain of events that ended up leading us to where we found our home. Mm-hmm. In the city, not built yet. Got a waiting list. Supposedly, the house that we ended up getting was sold.
Mm-hmm.
But
it just confirmed a lot of what the Lord has told us. And what it does, it validates that you hear from God. To me, that's more important than anything. Like, I heard him. I was excited. I was like, whoa, I didn't miss it. You know, I knew that was you, Lord. I've been saying it the whole time. And then there it is. And so he validates it. Mm-hmm. And so what that does, that brings more encouragement toward me to where I can encourage other people.
Right.
Somebody come and ask me certain things, I have an answer for them. I'm not just telling them what I've heard. I'm giving them a practical experience
mm-hmm.
on how I did it. And a lot of us need this in our lives. A lot of us need this. Because what we have done in our world, we've placed people on these pedestals, and people have been so untouchable and so distant
mm-hmm.
to where they preach the word of God, but they don't seem real because they don't really talk about nothing like real life situations. I can read the Bible for myself, but what has it done for you? Don't just tell me what it did for Moses. Don't just tell me what it did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't just tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
What has he done for you? Some people need that. So now I have several testimonies. You know, I've been walking with the Lord a long time. Mm-hmm. Am I perfect? No. Am I deserving of these things? Heck no. But I've been made deserving through him. This is part of the inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the inheritance. And so I could walk in that assurance and that authority. And that's what we need. We need that. In the body of Christ, this year is the year for you to quit sulking, for you to quit, and like Tanisha's favorite phrase, stewing in your juices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for you to quit complaining, for you to quit wondering and really walk in knowing, walking in the know. Plenty of you guys have gotten plenty of words from here. But the next step is to believe the word that you've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And then wait on it to manifest. Wait. Don't put God on no clock. You wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's business as usual. I know what God said is going to happen. Period. That's dead on it. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what it seems to be. But I know what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps you going, because you're looking forward to that. You're looking forward to that. And trust me, God's word don't go out and return unto him void. Just allow your faith to connect with it. Allow your faith to connect with it. And that's what tonight's show is about. This is what God had on our heart, put on our hearts to share tonight. That's what this week has been about. Faith. I mean, you ain't got to argue with yourself about things. There's nothing to argue about. If the Lord said it, that settles it. I can't say it enough. Nurture your relationship. Because he's a personal savior.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like he told me things he didn't tell Tanisha. He told her things that he didn't tell me.
Yep.
He makes it personal because her relationship with God is her relationship. It ain't mine. Her relationship ain't up to me. But we both got relationships. And so what we do, we help sharpen one another. We try our best to share with one another what God wants us to share, because it's, sometimes we be wanting to share what we want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to check ourselves on that sometimes. Because none of us are perfect. We got plenty of error ways, and that further lets us know that we need him. We cannot do it without him. I can do nothing without the Lord. I can do nothing. You have to tell yourself that. I can do nothing without the Lord. That's a true believer's mentality.
Mm-hmm.
True believers mentality. Let it soak in tonight. We're going to do a corporate prayer, and we're going to go. and open this thing up for Randy. And I just want you guys to open your hearts to receive tonight. And I pray that you all got it. So as we begin to pray, just begin to step out. Just believe God. Just trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for, again, another opportunity, another moment to spend with you, spend with your people, our brothers and our sisters. Lord, we just thank you for your word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We thank you for your strength. But we pray that we obey your word. We pray that we obey your words that you share, that you give. Pray that we can nurture our relationships properly with you.
Yeah.
So that we can learn how to love one another. Because you are love. We're receptive to your teachings. And we make your ways our ways. We make your will our will. We lean into you. We build our hopes in you. I pray that this year your people, God, will see you like they've never seen you before. That their faith will be built in a place that they've never had faith before. They become stronger. They become bolder, wiser. In Jesus' name, they dominate the earth, which you've called us to do.
Yeah.
We call forth the system of heaven to reign here in the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you that this is the season of release. So Lord, we thank you for releasing those blessings unto your people. We call the clouds to break and those miracles begin to fall from heaven. Now in Jesus' name. Somebody that seems that feels that they are dumb or feels like they don't know certain things. Lord, we just ask that you impart in them your wisdom and your knowledge. That you move in their life tonight, Father God, to where when men see them, they marvel. In Jesus' name. Demonstrations we call forth. We pray as we connect tonight, that everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone under the sound of my voice will release their faith to believe that you have said, and to give them the patience, the joy. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Oh, you slain, will I trust? We need some trusters out here today. You said the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So, Father God, position us to know what the real mission is here in this earth. And that you are after souls. Souls need to be saved in Jesus' name. Eternities are at stake right now. So, Lord, we just thank you for opening that door to us to begin to see this world like you see.
Yeah.
Thank you for opening our eyes and our ears to hear and give us the hunger, the appetite for righteousness. Give us the appetite to love unconditionally. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it being so. In Jesus' name. You got something you want to add?
Well, we just thank you for new faith and strength tonight, Father God. Help us to be very honest about ourselves, Lord. Help us to do self-inventory.
Yes.
And to come before you with the truth so that you can strengthen us and you can guide us and help us, Father God, because we want to receive all of the things that you would have for us, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your help. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us have clear ears to hear if there be anything in us that's causing a clog, so to speak, in our ears, Father God. Let it be revealed and let it be removed. Because we want to have ears to hear you, and let us not just be hearers of your voice and of your word, but let us also be doers of your voice and of your word. Lord, I just speak obedience over your people and boldness, Father God, that they will press against fear, doubt, frustration, and things that would try to hinder them from doing the work necessary to have faith and works equaling life. Because, Father God, we want the abundant life that you died to give us. You died to give us life and life more abundantly, Father God, and we desire it. We want it.
Yeah.
You said, ask and we shall receive, Lord Jesus. So we are asking for the abundant life that you died to provide us.
Yeah.
And, Lord, we know that you will do just what you said you're going to do. And, Lord, we collectively are coming into agreement that we are going to do what it takes and what's necessary to do our part so that we can have the abundant life. Lord, we just love and honor you. I speak blessings over your people. I speak clarity over minds. I speak wellness in bodies. Let it all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. This is a different type of show tonight. But we're not religious. We don't just do the same thing. No, we're just going to let God do what he feels is necessary because at the end of the day, we love you, but God loves you more, and he's going to give you what you need, not what Terrence and Tanisha want.
Mm-hmm.
So we love you. Make sure you call back in at 8:45, get into the queue on Wednesdays. Randy tends to pray over every caller. We love you, and we'll talk to you all soon. Good night.
Good night.